Live from New York City, it's the Gary Noel Show. And now, your host, Gary Noel.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Noel, broadcasting and video stream live from our studios in New York City, and I welcome you. Today, we're going to look at the latest on health and healing, including from Stanford and Tufts Universities, what happens when you take in the omega-3 fatty acids, which you can take either from fish, but also from vegan sources like avocados and walnuts and flaxseed. It's really good for you. And the healing powers of music, whether it's Mozart or Strauss, it can help you with hypertension from Rohr University in Germany. And overusing social media as a younger person is going to hurt you later in life. I'll explain how. This is from the University of North Carolina. Also, I believe that we should have a constitutional convention. I believe if you want to take back the power of for the people on all major issues and break the hold of Citizens United and the corruption of our entire political system, that we the people have to become involved. So I'll share some insights into a constitutional convention and how five states have already signed up. A lot more have to. But why? Now's the time. Then I'm going to have a talkback segment. My issue of the day, my talkback issue, which you can think about and call in at 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888 is this. A couple was sentenced to prison for 5 years for seeking natural remedies for their son's illness. According to Matt Agarist of the Thought Project, the issue is, should the parents of a child who sought out a homeopathic treatment instead of traditional medicine for their son's illness be punished if that treatment fails? The court says yes. In fact, a judge, Rodney Jerk, and sentenced Stephen David Steffen to 4 months in prison this week, and his wife also was given 3 months house arrest. They were found guilty of failing to provide the necessities to their 19-month-old son, who contracted meningitis, and so they sought out an alternative treatment. Now, here's what you should know. This is what the judge did not take into consideration. That 90% of the children that end up developing meningitis die. It has a very high mortality rate. And that was not brought up. Also, what was not discussed was a study from Johns Hopkins University that found that 251,454 deaths out of 35,416,000 hospitalizations stem from direct medical errors. That's almost 10% of all deaths in the United States. Here's the issue. Nothing happened to any of those nurses, doctors, dietitians, or others that participated. So, if a person tries an alternative therapy and it fails, should they be put in prison when the medical establishment is never put in prison? And yet they are the, depending upon your statistics, either first or second cause of death in the United States. My original report, which took 5 years and five MD PhDs, myself included, worked on it, and it's all completely peer-review-based, found that medical errors were the number one cause of death, exceeding heart attacks, strokes, cancer, diabetes. And yet we didn't find where a single person was held accountable, and they did not even include in the new statistics death by malnutrition, meaning a person goes into a hospital, you do not have malnutrition, because of the poor diet you're given by the dietitians under the supervision of the doctor, you die. In 1 year, it was 50,000. No one was held accountable. when they give you the wrong drug and you die, no one's held accountable. When you end up operating in the wrong part of the body, no one's held accountable. When they give you drugs that are supposed to work, but they don't help you with your condition, no one's held accountable. When it's been shown by the medical literature itself that chemotherapy fails 97% of the time, no one's held accountable. No one ever has to give back the money. No one's reputation is in any way besmirched or destroyed. And I called the report Death by Medicine. It was a landmark report, widely distributed in the alternative community, and it stands to this day. In fact, I'm updating it as we speak with a new documentary and a new major study using current figures. Now, they say that death by medicine is the third cause of death in the United States, what is called iatrogenic. Now, mind you, that's just behind heart attack and stroke, and right with cancer. But they're not including death by malnutrition. They're not including deaths at home. This is only when you die in a hospital, medical center. But what if you got a drug and you took the drug home and you died? What if you ended up with an infection from a hospital, which 100,000 died in one recent year from? 100,000. And you went home and you died at home. Doesn't count. So a lot of people die when they leave the hospital. They're excluded. Also, in one year, they excluded infection diseases. They excluded 80,000 Americans who died of bed sores that were developed in the hospital or the medical setting. And hospitals are 100% preventable. So when you add the real numbers together, it's the actual number one cause of death. But in any case, no one is held accountable. Nothing changes. There are no hearings. There's no seminars. There's no workshops. There's no reevaluation. Wouldn't you think there should be? But if a parent tries something with a child that developed meningitis, and still we know that meningitis is a common side effect in susceptible children to vaccines. So do they blame the vaccines? No. So do you believe that the parents should be in jail for seeking out an alternative treatment for their child with meningitis? The judge was very clear. Yes, considered the couple a danger to society and punished them as harshly as they could. Well, I looked at the latest studies from Johns Hopkins, and I studied the literature, because I have a new report coming out, and some medical errors are not punished, but a citizen who tries to help their child is. Your thoughts on that, please? That's our question, or talkback question of the day. Our number to call in, 888-874-4888. So we have a lot to cover today. Let's begin. I believe that we should be consuming a handful of various raw organic nuts each day. You can have a combination. You might have a tablespoon of walnuts, tablespoon of macadamias, tablespoon of pistachios. They're all good, all the different nuts. Not deep fried and salted, but raw, yes. Also, you can have avocados, flaxseed. These are also good sources of the omega-3 fatty acids, or if you choose to get them from fish, you can get them from fish oils as well. This is from Stanford as well as Tufts University, published in the Journal of the American Medical Association's Internal Medicine. Quote, blood levels of seafood and plant-based omega-3 fatty acids are associated with a lower risk of dying from heart attacks. Well, that's good news. They examined 19 separate studies done in 16 countries with 45,637 participants, and they found that those that had the omega-3 fatty acids were statistically significantly less susceptible to dying of heart attacks, fatal heart attacks. Well, that's something easy and inexpensive to get into a person's body. If we just put it into our diet each day to have some nuts and seeds. The omega-3 are also in pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, chia seeds. Also good. So it's easy, inexpensive, and it helps keeps us alive. Also, levels of coenzyme Q10 in the blood are associated with multiple symptom atrophy. This is from the University of Tokyo. Quote, the neurodegenerative disease known as multiple system atrophy, or MSA, affects both movement and involuntary body functions. And then questions were raised about the potential role of coenzyme Q10 deficiency, meaning when you don't have enough, in the development of MSA. And then it went on to talk about that it's much higher and people don't have it. Well, here are my thoughts on that. Look at the scientific literature on the use of statin drugs. Statin drugs have been used by millions of people. It's a multi-billion dollar a year industry. And yet, statins are known to destroy the vitamin, the coenzyme Q10 in our system. And two of the things Q10 does, it helps your heart, prevents a heart attack, and increases the energy in the mitochondria, that's the energy cells, and it helps your brain. So to help prevent strokes and heart attacks would be helping the number one and number two cause of death. Behind that is cancer, without using iatrogenesis or medically induced. I'm talking about physiological death. So my suggestion is this. 100 to 300 milligrams a day of ubiquinol. That's what you're getting when you get coenzyme Q10. Your body naturally produces, but for every decade of life, you produce less and less. And that's one of the reasons by the age of 50, our brain is not remembering. We don't have the same cognition that we had when we were younger. Our heart is not as strong. We're not as able to produce as much energy. Hence, we begin to slow down. And the reason most people slow down as they get older is because the mitochondria are not able to produce enough of adenosine triphosphate, or ATP, which is the actual source of energy. And a crucial element in that is coenzyme Q10. So now, they're showing if you're deficient, you're also more susceptible to this particular condition. So, one more reason to make sure you're getting your coenzyme Q10. Can you get it from food? No, you really can't. You've got to supplement. Also, from the University of Queensland, they have a study here that shows that when you spend time outside in nature, you're really helping yourself. Quote, people who visit parks for 30 minutes or more each week, not each day, each week, are much less likely to have high blood pressure or poor mental health than those who don't. That's according to the latest study from the University of Queensland. It helps you reduce stress, anxiety, depression, and heart disease, according to the study. Quote, if everyone visited their local parks for half an hour each week, there would be less cases of depression and fewer cases of high blood pressure. Well, for those of you who have not just a park, but really quality green space, just to get away, to get into that area is important. On Sundays, we meet at 90th Street and 5th Avenue in Central Park. And we take people who just want to get into shape. Some want to do more and get into shape. They want to do a New York Marathon, and we've helped over 30,000 do the marathon. And there are places in the park where you simply do not know that you're in New York City, especially at the Transverse, which is about 101st Street, where you're going from the east side to the west side of Central Park. There's a place in there where you can't see any buildings, you just have pure nature. It's really, really wonderful. But there are many different wonderful places in the park. And people should spend time in whatever park you are near. Because being around birds and butterflies and nature and breezes and the pheromones that come off, the aromas that come off trees, all that is a part of the healing process, de-stressing process. It's very important. Eating broccoli may lower your heart disease and cancer risk. This is from the University of Illinois, and here's what it says. Quote, according to a new study from the University of Illinois, eating broccoli 3 or 4 times a week may be associated with a lower risk of developing type 2 diabetes, heart disease, asthma, and several types of cancer. Researchers identified candidate genes controlling the accumulation of phenolic compounds in broccoli. Those are the healing compounds. Consumption of phenolic is P-H-E-N-O-L-I-C, compounds, including certain flavonoids, is linked with a lower risk of coronary heart disease, type 2 diabetes, asthma, and several types of cancer. Quote, phenolic compounds have good antioxidant activity, and there's increasing evidence that this antioxidant activity affects biochemical pathways affiliated with inflammation in mammals. So in just lay language, every time you have broccoli and the florets, the top part, or broccoli sprouts, or broccoli rabe, and you steam the broccoli or broccoli rabe, that opens up the cell, what is called the oligocellulose, and allows the nutrients that were trapped inside, including the chlorophyll, the indole-3 carbonyls, the isothiocyanates, all the wonderful healing nutrients, of which there are over 150 different healing nutrients in your broccoli, then it becomes bioavailable. And when people eat just raw broccoli, 95% just goes right through the intestine and does not open up. You need it opened up. So when it opens up, then it goes into your bloodstream, it goes to the cell, and it begins to protect your cell. It can help repair damage, and if you might have been exposed to a carcinogen, let's say around some air pollution or secondhand cigarette smoke, it can help protect your cell. There's also some sulfur in there, and sulfur is a great detoxifier. And that's why in all cleansing and detoxification programs, you should try to have at least one serving of broccoli per day. And broccoli sprouts are really good. From the British Journal of Sports Medicine comes a study that shows that physical activity in kids boosts their brain power and academic prowess. It was shown in the studies, 21 separate studies, it was shown that physical activity, quote, and cardiorespiratory fitness are good for children, young people's brain development, and a session of physical activity before, during, and after school boosts academic prowess, and, quote, a single session of moderately energetic and physical activity has immediate positive effects on brain function, intellect, and academic performance. So, the more the kids get out and exercise, as historically they did, the better they're going to be. And from the Mayo Clinic comes a study, as published in the Journal of Bone and Mineral Research, that shows that a daily calcium intake of 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams is the best for rickets. And that's important, because a lot of people, especially kids, have rickets. They're not getting enough usable calcium. And you say, oh, but they eat yogurt and drink milk. Yes, yogurt and milk, all dairy products do have calcium, but it's a form of calcium where the molecular structure is not highly absorbable, and it doesn't have magnesium, boron, isoflavones, silica, vitamin D3, all of which are necessary for a more complete absorption and utilization. Having a bowl of kale gives you more absorbable, usable calcium and magnesium by dry weight than milk. In fact, the highest level of osteoporosis is in people who drink the most dairy. Probiotics can prevent breast cancer. Western University in Ontario is what it says. A new study has found probiotics that creates the good bacteria may prove to be a critical factor in preventing breast cancer. Professor Gregory Reed, the professor of microbiology, immunology, and surgery at Western University of Ontario, says the bacteria having the potential to prevent breast cancer are present in the breast of cancer patients, while beneficial bacteria are more abundant in healthy breasts. So get your probiotics. They will replace the bad bacteria. Because you either got good or bad bacteria. When you're stressed, bad bacteria dominate. When you eat sugar, bad bacteria. Alcohol, bad bacteria. fried foods by bacteria. Refined carbohydrates, pretzels, muffins, by bacteria. So take your good bacteria, and that is important. One more here, and that is healing power of music. And this is, whether it's Strauss or anything else, you can help treat hypertension. This is from the Ruhr University in Germany. Quote, the music of Mozart and Strauss is able to lower blood lipid concentrations and the heart rate. This is the result of a study of the effect of different musical genres on the cardiovascular system. So, if you listen to classical music, you're helping treat hypertension, high blood pressure, protecting your heart, lessening the risk of a heart attack or stroke. I'm Gary Knoll. That's the latest on health and healing. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Broadcasting video streaming live from our studios in New York City. Here's another issue I'm going to raise. Many people believe that even though we are made aware of political issues, we do not take the time through proper introspection, challenge, and review to know whether or not what we are supporting is in our best interest or not. Whether it represents a capacity to heal what is disease within our body politic, our society, or whether it exacerbates it. And this is from Michael Roberts, The Age of Political Stupid. Quote, today, mobile communications, instant messaging, and the global interconnectedness are modern daily occurrences. From smartphones to wearable technology, humans have evolved into the most sophisticated and consumeristic of all previous generations. We are truly Nescafe generation. We want everything now, in real time, no waiting, period. And correspondingly, we've become the most stupid, gullible, and sheep-like generation. This dumbing down of America is now in real earnest. From the politics of sats and anything in between, we're now defined by 140 characters that is a mixture of letters, words, and numbers sent over our iPhones and Android devices. We have become self-righteous pontificators on such social media sites as Facebook, where we become armchair generals one day and downright hateful the next day without ever having to disclose our true identities or leave the comfort of our homes. In this setting, racism has been given a brand new lease on life in vivid reincarnations on a daily basis, putrid, cowardly, incessant. Now, in this dumbing down system, we're also engaged in the political arena. In this light, Americans are doing little to educate themselves about their leaders and their policies. Well, I think we could agree upon that. So that's one part of it. In a moment, I'm going to play you a particular piece to show you people in California on a beach were interviewed by this fella, and you're going to hear what he has to say, or they have to say, about just basic, a simple question that I'm sure anyone in this audience could easily answer. But every single person he asked about this, they just couldn't get it right. Well, if they couldn't get that right, what are they getting right when they vote for a Trump or Clinton or Sanders and don't look at the reality of what they're actually getting versus if they voted for Rocky Anderson or Ralph Nader or Jill Stein? because the policymakers in the entire moving circus that they bring in of anywhere between 1,400 to 2,200 educated technocrats, the people who really are the heads of agencies, the political appointees, the people who create the legislation, who get things done for their interest and always against the interest of the person who doesn't take the time to study issues. That is the age that we're in now. And I give you that because part of that is thinking someone else has your back, that there's always wiser people. They must be wiser. They must be smarter. They must know more than you because, after all, they're wealthy or they're successful or they're celebrities or they're on television. And so we abrogate a basic responsibility to thinking, probing, exploring, analyzing, as if we have no critical capacity of use of our faculties. And we do. Many of you do. So I'd like you to call in at 888-874-4888 and give me your input on why more Americans are not challenging all that is wrong in our society. Now, some of you are, but you're getting no attention. In fact, five separate states in the United States have now passed the recommendations for constitutional convention, which I highly recommend. And historically, first the constitutional convention was held in 1787, mostly promulgated by Madison Hamilton in order to create a new government rather than fix or reform the existing one. And until the present, only the congressional method has been used to pass constitutional amendments. A two-thirds vote of these in the House and Senate, and then three-fourths ratification by the state legislatures. Over 10,000 amendments have been created by Congress since 1789. Only 33 have been approved, and 27 of these have been ratified and added to the Constitution. Now, amending the Constitution by the constitutional convention method, which the states initiate and not the federal government, has never been successful. There have been 400 attempts, none approved. Right now, federal government has increasingly passed legislation to give it further dictatorial power to usurp and overwrite the rights and laws of individual states. Not too different than the European Union. The European Union can override the individual European nation's sovereign laws if the European Union decides those laws limit or oppose the agenda and influence of the large banks and transnational corporate interest that control the European Union and always have. According to the principles of the law, if the state law gives people more rights than a federal law, then the state law is legally supposed to prevail. But in the Constitution is the Supremacy Clause, Article 6, which also contains the doctrine of preemption. The federal government automatically wins in every case of the state law conflicting when it conflicts with the federal law. There are numerous examples of Supreme Court invalidating state law and provisions. I'll give you an example. State law prohibiting any state resident from being required to buy health insurance cannot block a federal law requiring such purchases like Obamacare, or on gay marriage, or on GMO labeling. Now, right now, there's a major movement across America to pass laws at the state level where the citizens you want to have a product labeled. Was this made with GMOs or not? Which is reasonable. Yet the federal government, which is controlled by lobbyists and special interest group, then passes laws that says no. No. We don't want the citizens nor the states having any say so over what goes into a product, where it's grown, how it's grown. And so they win. And even marijuana. Are you aware that there are states that have passed marijuana laws and medical marijuana patients have been arrested by the Obama administration in record numbers because the federal government has not passed the law that rescinds the laws on marijuana use? So if the state does, and you think you can use medical marijuana in Colorado and other states, think again. Federal government can arrest you and prevail. And also the government is engaged in the theft of property. Private real estate and laws pertaining to them apply only to the states. Yet the national law allows federations to come in and the states and take away your property and look at asset forfeiture. Oh, so? You think you have rights? You don't. So only by having a constitutional convention and bringing forward our rights to challenge Citizens United, our rights to challenge any of the federal mandates that we feel are unfair, will we be able to have a chance of taking back power to the people. So that's something that we're working on. And just to give you an idea, this is another issue that you're welcome to call in on also today. We talk about violence by extremists, and indeed they are extremely violent. The beheadings, the burnings, we've seen it all, the crucifixions. Then we say that we need more money to fight this. So everyone lines up and says yes. Then we say that we need unlimited amounts of money. All told, on and off the books, it's about $1.5 trillion a year. And again, we all say yes, or most people say yes. Don't question it. Broadcasters don't question it. Certainly Republicans don't question it, but the Democrats don't question it either. Nor does Bernie Sanders question it. In fact, he is one of the largest recipients in the state of Vermont for his plane boondoggle for over $1.5 trillion. Let me just set that aside for a moment. If we didn't have this boondoggle plane, instead we forgave all student debt, every single penny of every single bill, every debt from any student in America right now would be forgiven completely. And there would still be $300 billion left over from just that one plane that doesn't even fly right. That's how insidious the corruption is within our political system and how contracts are awarded. So it's about prioritizing. But we're told, my goodness, we have to abrogate our rights. We have to have the National Defense Authorization Act, the Patriot Act 1 and 2. We have to have the suspension of habeas corpus. We have to be able to kill people without trial, without evidence. We have to be able to use drones. We have to be able to record every phone call, every single computer transaction, everything digital. We have to be able to watch you and listen to you from your new smart phones that can turn on remotely, and that your television can turn on its audio and hear and record everything you're saying in your room, in your bedroom. They can listen to everything that you talk about in your car when you have the radar system in there, because they say it's in their best interest. And they say it's to prevent violence. Here are my suggestions, and then I'd like to hear yours. I believe that we could make an enormous difference in stopping all terrorism if we simply did these simple things. First, why don't we stop idolizing violence? Just think of all the major media and the entertainment industry, the video games, the extreme fighting events on television. Think of how we have glamorized violence. We are a culture growing up on violence, and it does impact us. What if we stopped all nuclear development and ceased all trade and business with any nation that refuses to completely eliminate its entire nuclear arsenal, including, and most importantly, Israel? What if we refused all business and support from any regime supporting terrorism? It is hard to fathom the gross disconnect between common sense and reason in the average person, politician, or member of the news media. For example, we say that we should arm those who are terrorists, are fighting terrorism. So we create tens of trillions of dollars a year in weapons, including weapons of mass destruction, and then we sell them to regimes that engage in terror. Saudi Arabia, they protect terrorists, they fund terrorist organizations, they have the most radicalized, violent form of religion on the planet. It is an abridged form of Islam called Wahhabism. They support Sharia. They discriminate against any other religion. They behead people, crucify people. They're running neck and neck with ISIS and how many people they're going to behead and crucify this year. They have terrible human rights. So what do? We give them more weapons. Then they give those weapons to terrorist groups. And they fund those terrorist groups. And they give sanctuary to those terrorist groups. And they give logistics and intelligence to those terrorist groups. But it's not just Saudi Arabia, the number one terrorist nation in the world, promoter of terrorism. But it's Turkey, one of our trading allies. It's Israel. It's all the Gulf states, except two. Look at the United Arab Emirates. Look at Qatar. Look at Kuwait. Look at Jordan. They fund, house, protect, and arm terrorist organizations. And there's John McCain, and my goodness, look at this man taking pictures with terrorists and saying these are freedom fighters. No, they're not freedom fighters, unless you're equating freedom fighter in the Middle East to Ronald Reagan's Contra freedom fighters that used to be Somoza's National Guard that were all terrorists. This man should retire somewhere way out in the backwoods of Arizona and sit for about a month in the sun to bake his brains one more degree back. He'd become primordial at that point, because that's what his actions and behavior are. And he could take most of the Republican Democratic Party with him. So here we have, we are supporting the states that sponsor terrorism. And yet all we had to do is simply say, no more arms, get out of the arms business, no more supporting any nation that engages in terror, no more sharing intelligence, no more trade at all. Saudi Arabia, we don't buy any more oil from you. Kuwait, no more oil. What do you think would happen to terrorism? Overnight, if any of these nations chose to deal with terrorism, it would stop. Because without their support, financial and political, and cover, you're not going to have it. Then, close down all of our military bases in every Muslim country in the world. Take the thumb out of the eye of those who believe that America should not be engaging in military activities in their country. Then engage in constructive reparations in Yemen, Iraq, Libya, Honduras, Afghanistan, and help them rebuild the social infrastructures where people then are self-sufficient with food, schools, clinics, hospitals, and energy. We destroyed it. We're responsible for rebuilding it. Then have a truth and reconciliation body like Guatemala or South Africa where people come forward and are pardoned if they tell the truth about all of their terrorist connections, funding, training, so we see the full picture. And the CIA and our national intelligence agencies, our Pentagon, are going to be at the top of the list in being accused. Then hold every person in the United States government who had anything to do with support of terrorist activities accountable with life sentences in prison. Then convene an international crimes tribunal and bring those people together from around the world who are the good jurists. And no matter if it's a foreign president of the United States or anyone else, if they supported terrorism, no matter what their justifications, they are going to be held accountable. Then stop allowing banks to be used to launder terrorist money, and stop all oil tankers going from Turkey into Iraq and going into Syria, stealing their oil, bringing it back, 12,000 trucks in one convoy. I mean, you could be on the moon and see 12,000 trucks. And yet America didn't bomb one single truck for 3 years. It took Russia to blow up the trucks. So they were bringing back in Turkey, and then the corrupt Turkey regime that we're close partners with then sells it to Israel and sells it to other countries in the black market. So stop it. And then bring in a reconciliation group of leading spiritual leaders from around the world who go into these countries and work with the people in whatever religion they are, whether they're Coptic Christians in Syria or whether they're Sunni or Shia in the other Arab and Persian countries, and support the healing, positive side of their religion and do not support any more terrorist groups. So those are my suggestions of how to overcome terrorism, not putting more boots on the ground and not funding more of these activities. Now, also from our environmental segment, I was telling you that we're running out of water. Well, now the Great Lakes water wars have begun after the U.S. officials approved drawing 30 million liters per day for one community alone. So when you got 78,000 people living in a community and you run out of water because your aquifers are drying up, imagine what that does for all the other communities that want to use the Great Lakes. And for a period of time, they'll be able to use it, but then you're going to run out of that water in time as well. Better start paying attention to our natural resources and what we can do to lessen them. Your thoughts on our talkback segment, 888-874-4888. We've got several things you can call and talk about. How we can stop terrorism. How we can, and also I would suggest that we dismantle 95% of our entire intelligence agencies. Get rid of them. We don't need a Homeland Security. We don't need all these agencies. They're just redundant bureaucracies that benefit by the benefiting the private corporations, the private contractors, and not the American citizens. Yet we're paying for it. So we're going to take a brief break and come back and take your calls on our talkback segment. I didn't have a guest today, so in effect you'll be the guest. Our number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Your turn.
We shared love and made love. It doesn't seem to me like it's enough. It's just not enough. It's just not enough.
Oh, oh, babe.
That's me.
My darling, I can't get enough to your love, babe. Girl, I don't know why I can't get enough to your love, babe.
Probably in about a month from now, I'm going to have a celebration dance for the listeners. I haven't had one in a year and a half. I'll let you know when I find a venue and when it's going to be, and it'll be free for everyone. And so, looking forward to that. And I'm going to give you a date in the near future when our feature film is going to premiere on Long Island, in Manhattan, and in New Jersey. It's my newest film. I've got three that were in post-production on, but this is a real hard-hitting one. Haven't discussed anything about it yet. Won't until it's ready for premiering. So we have some wonderful things coming your way shortly. Now let's say hello to Walter from Virginia. Hi, Walter. Your turn. You're on the air.
Hello, Gary. Always great to be with you. I am calling in regarding the death and medicine comment that you had earlier in the show. And I saw a clip on RT News yesterday about the increase of the use of alternative medicine in the United States, and they were talking about the dollar values now have like gone up. I think it was something like they broke it out by those that are going to alternative health practitioners, those who are buying health supplements. All those numbers were up by billions of dollars. And they also had some demographic information that were saying that generally older folks were making more use of alternative medicine and supplement practices, and also those that were lower income and that couldn't afford health insurance were also doing that. So I thought that was interesting, and so they were sort of, in a sense, promoting alternative health practitioners and health supplements, and then they brought up the case that you cited in Canada about the parents and their child with meningitis. And so at the end of the clip, the reporter had said, while alternative health medicine and supplements are growing, that they strongly advise that you seek the counsel of a conventional doctor before engaging in alternative health practice or supplement. I thought that was just very interesting.
They would have had to have done that, but I'll hold my thoughts to the end. But I appreciate you calling in and sharing yours, Walter. Thank you. Let's say hello to Frank from Astoria. Hi, Frank. Your turn.
Yes. Hi, Gary. I've been listening to your show for approximately an hour, and I kind was listening to the fact that you were discussing the issue about the political system has problems between federal, state, and local government, and how they're actually wasting a vast amount of money, trillions of dollars, in ways that are inappropriate under the law. I just want to say, Gary, that you know you're very knowledgeable, and I understand everything you said. But you have to understand that there's always congressional opinions. Every congressman comes from a different state. There's always the president, who was elected by the people, and there's always local politicians, which fall under mayor, fall under city council member in specific large cities like New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. And usually what you said, that they actually have to take these laws that come from the state government, and they have to interpret them according to what state officials and state politicians indicate to them. But I always say that there's always a consensus that there's equal protection under the law, even for the elected official. I'm sure that a law elected official has the power to state whether or not something in his district or his city council district, in this case being New York City, is unconstitutional under the law, and he doesn't have to take it anymore. Because I've seen many policies.
Frank, let me, I want to get a few more calls in, but let me address yours. I appreciate your input. Our problem is that our current system is not reformable. We have, with each president, you have anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 stay-behinds. These are technocrats. These are highly educated, very smart people, come from corporate America or institutions. They come in, and then they are the foot soldiers. They are the ideologues that make sure an agency does what it's supposed to do, and that is their interest, not the interest of the public. And there is no way to fix our system at the federal level today, because instead of people voting for the legislators who are most likely to correct the imbalances and get rid of the corruption and the undue influence, they simply become a part of it. Just like Bernie Sanders is a part of that when he turns over his constituents to Hillary Clinton instead of supporting a third party run with Jill Stein. Now, look at all your agencies of government. We need agencies of government. We need government. But we need government that is small, that represents the people's will, that represents the interests of nature and animals and humans, that has some moral equation in what it does. Right now, ALEC at the state level, you just mentioned state, the state level has had over 25,000 bills become laws that were all hidden from the public purview. We didn't know they were winding down our state legislators. Not all of them, because not all of them are complicit. But any state legislator who has ever gone to a convention of ALEC should be asked to resign from office. They are compromised. They no longer represent your interest. We can't change at the federal level as easily as we can change at the state level. So if we're able to start having input on city councils and state boards and run people for state office, then at least we could clean up the states and take back the power of the federal government to the state government, where the states and the people in that state can make decisions. So if you don't want fracking, you won't have fracking in your states. If you don't want Monsanto spraying their herbicide in your state, you won't have it, because the state will prevail. And I believe that the only future that we have is if the states take back the power and represent the people, and you have a law that defines lobbying by special interest groups, and you ban all lobbying, 100% of all lobbying at the state level, get it out, so that the only thing that a person's allowed to do who's voted into office is honor the constituents that voted them in. And the reality is, how many people who are electing official ever follow up to see whether or not that official honors their word? It's almost zero. People don't know what happens to a legislator when they go to Washington or Albany. They only know what happens when there's the next election cycle and they're asking for your support again. We have been betrayed by both the corporate Democrat and corporate liberal and Republican and conservative communities. We've been betrayed by big business, the multinational corporation, and the neoliberal agenda. We have to get back to the basics, where we, the people, have control over our lives. Right now, we do not have that. Where we should have measures that protect our forests and water and our health, we don't. They've been watered down or eliminated, both at the state level and the federal level. It's easier to get someone exposed and out of a state office, get a good populist person in the place, than at the federal level. I consider the federal government beyond redemption, beyond change. It is not possible. There's just one giant feeding orgy of every corporation imaginable and every sociopath or emotional parasite who's running into Washington as a lobbyist or as a legislator to jump into that big fat bin of sugar, and they're eating everything they can every day. And we pay for that. That's our tax dollars. So we are not represented properly in that respect. And also, how are we going to stop anything that we shouldn't be doing around the world? Regime changes, giving grants, or giving leases and permits to do more deep water drilling, killing Department of Interior, killing tens of thousands of animals each year that shouldn't be killed. We have a completely out of control, chaotic government system now. And it is destroying the planet and us in the process. We have to become engaged in a constructive way. Start where we can actually make a difference. And that's what this is about. I appreciate your concern, Frank. I appreciate your input. Thank you very much. We're out of time. I'm sorry our phones are full. And I thank you all for joining us today. Have a nice day, everyone.